along to the Rugby Pass podcast. This is the Short Ball with Scotty Stevenson and Mills Muliaina, and we have our champion, Millsy. Never in doubt.
Never one doubt.
It's funny about that. Super Rugby final, the Crusaders up against the Lions. It was funny in the last 20 minutes, which is where the Lions come to party.
Yeah.
I did have a sinking feeling that it was going to go all tits up for the Crusaders. They came home with a wet sail.
Yeah, they certainly did. And I think just that 8-point buffer got the Crusaders home in the end. But, you know, credit to the Lions. They fought back well. We've always sort of said their best is always in the last sort of 20 minutes or so, but they certainly fought back hard, and it was looking like it was going to be a very, very close one. But, you know, the Crusaders played very well, and as I said, that 8-point buffer probably got them home in the end.
Well, plenty of talk about that today on the podcast. Also, we're going to catch up with Crusaders coach Scotty Razor Ray Robertson. He'll join us from Christchurch over the phone, and also having a look ahead to the All Blacks season coming up with the Rugby Championship. Bledisloe Cup starts in just a couple of weeks' time, so we'll run our eye over that squad and maybe a couple of the hits and the misses in the All Blacks. Before we get to Razor Ray, Millsy, Super Rugby has come in for a lot of criticism, especially over the last couple of years with the conference system. But when you think about that Crusaders win and then go all the way back to 2010, seven teams have now won Super Rugby in 8 seasons.
Wow.
Now, that to me does not sound like a competition that is broken.
No. I mean, it sounds pretty good when if you're thinking about the all-round success of it. You know, you know, teams every sort of year sort of having a decent decent run. You know, the Lions, who predominantly for a number of years were the team at the bottom of the table.
Oh, shit. Let's not pull punches. Okay, they were terrible.
And look where they are now. You know, so you know that stat that you just mentioned. You know, seven teams out of eight seasons have had one.
Let's have a look at it. We've got the Bulls, we've got the Chiefs, we've got the Waratahs, we've got the Reds, we've got the Hurricanes, we've got the Highlanders and the Crusaders. Mm. That is not a bad record in a competition that is very much maligned because of the draw more than anything else. But again, you know, even after that victory, people saying, well, the Crusaders had to win that because that's justice for a competition that's not working. I just don't buy that. The top two teams in the comp played in that final, full stop.
Oh, absolutely. And there's always sort of that question, you know, the Lions haven't played any New Zealand team. Well, they didn't the semis. They dominated. And both teams, there's certainly no doubt in my eyes, but the two teams that were in the final deserved to be there. Now, there is a bit of question around the travel and things like that, mainly to the end of the season. But, you know, that's obviously something that they need to look at and possibly go into, you know, a different format. But certainly from what you're saying, it isn't really broken, is it really, when you think about it?
I don't think it is. Well, we're going to call Scotty Robertson now, who is still celebrating. I'm not entirely sure if he's breakdancing, but he's definitely still celebrating. The Crusaders arriving home Monday, New Zealand time, and they'll be into their work still. I can guarantee you of that. Now, Razor Ray's breakdancing is coming for a lot of talk over the last couple of days in rugby circles, which has been wonderful to see, because the thing about that breakdancing routine is he went from crazy legs straight into backspin. I know, he's at the bar. That's why he's not answering his phone.
Well,
He's at the bar. We'll get back to him.
They've got a parade soon, haven't they?
Have they got a parade today?
I think they got a parade today, mate.
I can't believe that.
No?
Parade where?
In Christchurch.
Where do they go in Christchurch? They'll get stopped at roadworks. You've been there lately. You've seen the state of that town.
Yeah.
It's tough. Who gets the bigger crowd, the Super Rugby champions or the America's Cup champions?
Oh, that's a hard one. That's a hard one, Sumo. Jeepers. Oh, I'm going to leave that to you to answer, mate.
I'm going to wait for Scotty Robertson to get back to us on the phone. I mean, this is poor form on the short ball when he's not answering on a crucial day like this. We better talk about the red card. Quagga Smith sent off in that game. You said last week on the short ball, Millsy, that the TMO would make a difference in this game. I mean, he was certainly involved, but ultimately it was Jaco Paper's call. And I would say to you that he was left with no choice.
No, he definitely was. I mean, that was a fair call. And I think judging by the reaction of the crowd as well, it was, you know, fairly fair. I think, you know, they've been, you know, really consistent in some ways with saying, coming out early on in the season and saying, look, you've got to protect the guy in there. In the case of Smith, you know, he wasn't really looking at the ball. So he had to actually stop. There was no way he could actually contest. So you know, Jarko did make a good decision. Unfortunately, you know, it probably played a big part in the way the Lions had to play the rest of the game. You know, they're certainly one down in their forward pack, which has predominantly been their strength. And given it was so early in the game, it just gave the Crusaders a bit more momentum coming out of the second half.
The way they started that game, the Crusaders, so crucial to get up in an environment like that, which is very hostile. We talked about the 60,000 fans who would be at Ellis Park. I did write last week on Rugby Pass that wouldn't worry the Crusaders, but that was perhaps more hope than fact. I mean, you've played at Ellis Park. What is it like when you run out in front of a crowd like that?
Oh, I was actually quite surprised, Sumo. The first couple of tries that the Crusaders scored, you know, when you're in a hostile environment like that and the crowd's giving you a bit of stick, you come out and the atmosphere is just electric. Those two tries they scored, it was as if the Crusaders were like, well, that's nothing. We're just going to go back to business. There was no big high fives.
No,
there was no sort of jubilation. You know, Tamani Vali, when he scored that first try, I was thinking, okay, that's fair enough. They've just scored the first try. And then, you know, Goodhue scores. And it was as if kind of like, well, let's just go back to business and start again. The real emotion was probably when, in the second half, when, you know, Kieran Reid sort of scored that try under the post. So I was actually quite impressed with the Crusaders, I suppose, composure and thinking, well, hey, this is only a start. Let's just go back to the drawing board and start again.
You know, I agree with that. And the funny thing about that Kieran Reid try is the young boys in the team all came flying in. Basically, it was a rugby frottage. there wasn't a part of his body that wasn't touched by someone else. He was the one who showed no emotion.
Yeah.
He knew that that was not enough.
No.
You had to get back and get into your work again.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was. The young guys just start to show a little bit of emotion, given they're all, you know, one man up. And, you know, Kieran Reid, the All Black captain, just, you know, stood back up and said, well, cheers, guys, for your high fives. We're back to the halfway and we're going to start again.
Yeah, I agree with that. The thing, too, about that game for me was the substitutions. We talk a lot about substitutions when teams bring on players, if they're tactical or if they're reactionary in the game. There was a plan there, obviously, that you empty your tank for 40 minutes and then on comes the cavalry. The big change for me was Bryn Hall playing 40. When do you ever in any other team see a halfback dragged after 40 minutes? Not because he's not performing, because you have made that decision pre-game.
Yeah, absolutely. And it would have been an interesting question to ask Razor, actually. You know, did you actually say to your halfback, you know, Bryn Hall this week, all right, mate, I just want 40 out of you, two big 40s, and then I'm going to bring on Drummond. And man, that played a massive part. Even, you know, Frank's coming off early. And
right.
Alatoa, how big of a game did he play? His ball running.
You know, the last three games for Mike Alalatoa have been the making of him as a player.
Mm.
He's been used on the bench sparingly. He still built his minutes through the season, but this was not a guy they counted on week after week.
Yeah.
The last 3 weeks of footy for Mike Alalatoa showed me exactly what he can do. That credit's got to go to Jace Ryan and the rest of the coaching staff to get this guy physically and mentally ready to play at that level.
Oh, and mentally, I think mentally is the big one for such a young guy in a key position. You're taking off 100 plus Crusader and All Black that's going to be a centurion at halftime, and you're bringing Alalatoa in to say, well, and he wasn't just warming himself into the game. They were feeding him, you know, the ball from the very beginning. He was, you know, giving little wee short balls.
Yeah.
Defensively, you know, there's a tackle there where he came out of the line and Mark Todd.
He's got charisma.
No, so and Todd came out and stole the ball. I mean, that's massive for a young man like that to be able to show, you know, the mental strength to go out there and enjoy himself.
We're still waiting to get hold of Scotty Razor Robertson, the Crusaders coach. He's about 17 deep by now, I think, in Christchurch, celebrating that victory still for the Crusaders. But we must move on while we try to rouse him from his stupor to Matt Todd himself. The All Blacks have named their rugby championship team, and Matt Todd is not there.
No.
Matt Todd is not there.
No.
What?
No. Yeah. Yeah.
How is this possible?
Well, it's interesting to make up. Obviously, you know, Artie Savier needs to be there. You know, they're looking, you know, Sam Cain's had a big part in it. So if you look at it, you know, you got Jerome, you got the captain, Rito. I mean, you've got, you know, Sam. I mean, it's the makeup of the bench, really. Do you go for an extra guy that's going to fetch the ball, which you'd probably possibly got in Artie's game that he's sort of brought on, you know, from his running game? Or do you sort of look to Todd to actually start? And when you look at it, Todd against against Sam Kane, possibly not, you know?
Okay, I agree with that, Millsy. I agree with that. But this is the problem for Matt Todd. He's literally a booty call for the All Blacks.
Yeah.
They have to give him no love and affection, and they never do. Yeah. And yet when they need him, they call him and he turns up. He's the booty call seven in international rugby.
Yeah, it's pretty, I mean, and given the way he played also in the last couple of weeks, how instrumental has he been on turnover ball defensively and also on attack? And so you're right, he is basically the booty call of the All Black rugby.
He's the booty. Honestly, like, you don't have to take him out to dinner. You don't have to ask him how he is. You just really feel the need and it's on the blower. Todd, come on over. And he comes over every time.
Yeah, I'd say
that's his whole All Black career.
Yeah, I know. I'd say he'd be the number one sort of redial call on Steve Henson's phone, right?
He's on speed dial. That is exactly where he's at. What does this mean for the Crusaders as a team? And also, where does it put Todd Blackadder's reign in charge? The problem for Blackadder is he went to two finals, couldn't win it, never missed the semis, was always there or thereabouts, but never won a title. Is that the big black mark against Todd Blackadder?
No, I don't think so. It's not a black mark at all. And you know, in some cases, you know, New Zealand, you know, we're very sort of, you know, we always look to, you know, if you're not successful unless you win, you know, unless you win a title. And he's been there or thereabouts. He's won a couple of titles as a coach. He's been always in the final. What does this do for the Crusaders team now? Well, it just adds a little bit of pressure come next year. So now all of a sudden, you know, Ray's his first sort of job as a coach. He's won it. He's got to back it up again. But it's obviously something they'll look forward to. You know, when we talk about Razor, you know, he's been instrumental in this. He's a fantastic coach. But the guys that he's got with him, you know, you've got Brad Moore, you know, Leon McDonald, you know, Jace Ryan.
Yeah.
Those guys, yeah. And you look at the way they played in the weekend. You know, the line out, which we talked about, the lines, you know, they're going to bring. How many times do we see, steals, you know, from Sam Whitelock, from Kieran Reid, you know, 5 metres out, you know, Reid got up there and stole. And that's, you know, to have a good team behind you, I'm sure Razor would say the same thing. He's got a massive team behind him and the one of the main reasons why they actually won the final.
Well, that's right. We're going to try and give him another call. And if he doesn't answer, then he's dead to us. Scott Razor Robertson, the Crusaders coach, here on the Short Ball, a Rugby Pass podcast. Mills Molina and Scotty Stevenson joining you today as we discuss that Crusaders victory and also have a look ahead to the All Blacks season upcoming. The team has been announced for the Rugby Championship. A couple of talking points in that. We've already covered one, which is Matt Todd. No place for him, despite, putting in some legendary shifts again this season. Millsy covered that off, and I think it's understandable when you've got Savia and Kane. Sometimes in your rugby career, you're just unlucky with guys around you who are just that fraction better for what a coach requires. But, you know, I look through that All Black team, and I think that there is there's plenty of substance to what they're trying to do. Look at that. He's joined us now. We're one missed call deep, Razor Ray, but we've got you on the line. And, boy, what a wild 72-hour ride it's been for you, old son.
Oh, mate, I tell you. How good was that? How good was the whole event? The whole thing has been euphoria.
Yeah, look, there were tears from you on Ellis Park. Tears and massive man hugs with Muttley Ryan and Brad Moore and Leon McDonald, some great campaigners. Just explain to us that feeling of being on the sideline when the boys kicked the ball into touch.
Oh, a bit of relief, to be fair, because they were coming home, weren't they?
Yes.
The Lions boys, the attitude, look, we're fit. We know that. We had everyone on the bench doing what they had to be done, and then they had 40 men and we're still looking for oxygen or whatever was left up there. It's a little bit of relief. It was one of those weird feelings, the whole setup, you know, getting over the jungle and having a rumble and everything's against you. You couldn't ask for more.
Rays, can we talk about theming? You know, when we caught up, did the podcast back in May when you guys were up in Fiji playing the Chiefs and we spent some time with you talking about your philosophies. Did you theme the season for the boys? Was there an overarching theme that the guys bought into all season long?
Oh, we did, but without giving it too much away because it's very special to the group. But, we ran a little bit of Me We, which is a famous poem that Muhammad Ali used when he went to Yale or Stanford, one of the big universities over in the States. Someone said at the end of his speech, give us a poem, Ali, and he stood up and he said Me We, and the whole place after a while stood up and started clapping. And it means more than just the two words, and that's what we wanted to be, more than a ability just for me to give everything I possibly can, and we, which is the whole group, the whole family, on and off the staff, the new children. We've had about 6 babies this year already in our group, and we was all the parts that have passed before. So to reconnect and to chuck a bit of Ali in there and go to win the Rumble in the Jungle is tied up nicely.
Oh, nice, Razor. Well, hey, well done, Razor. Congratulations on the season and the final, buddy. You talk about we and the Rumble in the Jungle, mate. Before the game, during the week, was it a sort of a conscious sort of decision made by the coaches and the team to actually buy into the fact, you're going to change your halfbacks at halftime?
I just want to go back a step, Millsy, and I just remember when I was last time on team talk, and well, I think you might have used the Highlanders saying they're going to get up on us.
Yes!
Yeah, oh. Anyway, so I was just taking a bit back to the halfback chair. Bryn took a little bit of a whack, and it's either going to be at the 40-minute mark or just after.
Yeah.
We just knew the meters that were being running by the halfbacks, and they could bring on a little Faf Marshall just to see to so we knew the tempo of the game. We just did to keep that rhythm going. That's why we went to the bench early to be as proactive as we could, because we just knew that if we had to chase them, I don't think we could. They had to chase us, and we did hold on. So the balance of all our subs was quite premeditated. We tend not to do that, but we just knew from watching the Hurricanes the week before you had to.
Am I alone, Rays, or whenever you see Faf de Klerk playing the game, do you just feel like throwing a stick at him?
Yeah, I tell you what, you want a trip ball and he just runs everywhere, just all over the show, runs backwards and forwards.
I know, he's like a terrier.
He is, and I'm mate, good. Those boys are shattered. I actually really felt for them for a little while. And then, just right initially when we walked on, then after that it just went, look, I think we were the best team all year, and we showed it. And then in the final, we took our opportunities, and that's what it's about. So just the way it is. Look, we don't want to get into the draw and how it's structured and stuff, because it's changing, because it needs to. So, and that's been done and done about that, but just to give ourselves the opportunity to show us if we are the best over there. It's more than special. I think people look at it, and hopefully this is the base from what everyone else thinks is one of the better finals.
Ray, I'm just going to ask a serious question, then we can get back to being lighthearted. But the red card obviously had an impact for the Lions. There are going to be some who would suggest that this final will need an asterisk alongside it because you played against 14 men for 40 minutes. Do you subscribe to that point of view, or is that just life and footy?
Yeah, really good question. I think I'm not sure. Not I think the answer is in the outcome, which was a red card. And if it would have happened to us, someone would have done that, we would have got a red card. So as the context of a law, everyone knew it straight away.
Yeah,
it was a red card in your head, isn't it? So there's no doubt, just that they had to go upstairs and go through a process, and both adjudicators came to the same outcome. So is it right that there was one? No. Is it a shame? Yes. Would love to have gone 15 on 15, but those things what finals and mid-games are about.
Ray, so tell us about another guy that was sort of really impressed and a young head on his shoulders is, Ala Latour. You know, the way he came on. Now, I don't know too much about how good his scrummaging and things are. It's not really part of my forte, but his running game and his ability to, make decisions under pressure, especially in the final, the short ball and also his defence, given how much pressure there is. Tell us about him, mate. He was fantastic in the weekend.
Yeah, look, you're right. All those things you mentioned. He's a big man and he can move. Good feet, obviously. His brother, Alan Alatoa. His parents love a vowel, I'll tell you that. he can play as well. But he's one of those props that, you know, Tidage take 4 years to be at their best, and I reckon he's about a year, maybe two away. We've had him for a couple, and Josh runs an amazing job with him, just technically, but also mentally. The biggest thing he needs is just his confidence to be high. He's a big cuddly bear, but then you get him on the field, he's an incredible athlete. He's just going to get better and better, and he's eligible for the All Blacks, I think, pretty much after this Mighty 10 for the Turbos. So, he's one of the future. Mm. Yep, love him.
Ray, speaking of the future, once again, your futuristic moves on show at Ellis Park. I mean, in a way, probably good that you had the final on a hard deck, because you would have sunk into the AMI turf if you tried the crazy legs into backspin at home.
Yeah, no good. That would have been absolutely no good for my knee joints either. Just look, it's funny, everyone says, yeah, you know, where it comes from, and you do your moves, and basically what just happens, no practice, no nothing, just off you go. Just go back on instinct. That's all I go do. You sing it, I'll do it. And say that in jest too. Look, it's a fun part of it all, and the boys, love climbing behind it, and I know it gets a little bit of airtime, but I'm not a big fan of the social media and stuff, but good people. You know, I just want to be myself like I always have, and it's a part of it.
Finally, from us, Ray, we know that you're not a man who's easily satisfied. This just the beginning for you, mate?
Look, I don't say this lightly, man. We've got a better squad next year. We've assigned everyone.
You signed everyone?
Everyone?
Yeah, you know, that we wanted to re-sign out of the squad. Let me finish. We haven't got Geordie back. But not yet. Well, we've got everyone we re-signed for next year. They would like to have re-signed. So retention's just as important recruitment, as you know. So that gives us a consistency. All our leaders are there. They've come to an age where they're all mature athletes. And after winning one, it doesn't mean the desire's going to be any less. It could be, I think, even more, because the feeling we had, and that's what Crusaders teams have done before, gone three in a row. Getting ahead of myself, but that starts to show how good you are if you can win it by two times.
Razor Ray, no more bubbles. Go and enjoy the rest of your celebrations.
Plenty of bubbles. Thanks, mate.
Good on you, Razor.
Good boys.
Scotty Robertson joining us on the short ball. Cheers, Ray. Mate, it was a fantastic achievement for him, a first-year coach, and of course became the first man to both win a Super Rugby title as a player and as a coach. He's a real deal, man. He really is. And, you know, all of those things that he speaks about, the fact that, you know, he's got a great coaching group around him, a team that buys into a theme that is a we, not me organisation. You know, going back to the podcast we put together with him back in May, you know, that whole philosophy of turning up with energy and whinging up if there's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very simple. I mean, obviously rugby's a complex game now in terms of all the moving parts and the science behind each phase of the game. But the philosophy around the team culture is a very simple one. And, you know, I've said it time and time again this season. Every time I've been into that environment this year, you just walk away feeling totally energised by the players and the staff.
Yeah, you've often said that when you've been in their environment. It's there's just something about it. And I suppose when you look at Ray and what he sort of, and the way he speaks, you know, even now the way he speaks, he's very open. He doesn't sort of, he don't seem like he's hiding anything away. He answers, you know, truthfully or as best as he can be. And I suppose that's a reflection of his whole sort of environment. You know, he's very open to the players. If you want to whinge up to him, you know, he's not gonna then drop you or anything like that. So, and as you said, you know, Alalatoa, he spoke about this very last comment. Yeah, I love him. You know, and so they've already signed the guys that they know and care about. So it's a very sort of family orientated sort of environment. And why wouldn't you want to be amongst that when you've got a guy such as Razor Robinson that's sort of driving that?
Very different coach, and that's Steve Hansen. You're on the Rugby Pass podcast. This is the Short Ball with Scotty and Mills. The All Blacks have been named for the Rugby Championship, and a couple of omissions here that have got people wondering. Oh, we talked about Matt Todd a little bit earlier, but I think that's just from more of a point of view that it's unlucky for Matt Todd, and there's a set of circumstances around that. Julian Savia, gone, out of the squad. Something's going on with Julian Savia. There's no way that Wes Hurson is a better left winger than Julian Savia. And yet he's the guy preferred in the semi-final. There's no way that Julian Savia can get that bad in such a short space of time. He has scored tries with alarming regularity since the moment he put on a black jersey. What is going on with Julian Savia?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I think without reading too much into it, obviously, you know, Nehi Milne-Scudder comes back, Geordie, you know, it's the makeup. But I have been very surprised. You know, last year he came back not very good shape, and look at the way he finished the season. This year he's come back and, you know, not a word about how he's sort of come back. He came back in magnificent shape.
Right.
And now all of a sudden he's sort of out of the picture. So, you know, what does a man have to do? Does he have to go back, you know, revert back to coming back out of shape?
Well, I mean, it just, there's something going on here that's not on field. There is an issue behind the scenes here that we're not privy to, but there has to be something going on in Julian Savia's life right now, because he is not being picked because of form, or he's not being selected because of form. There's got to be something.
Yeah. And I think, you know, in the past, you know, when he hasn't sort of played well, something sort of has happened in his personal life. But it's hard to know. I mean, as you say, we're not privy to what's sort of gone on here. He is, no, there's no doubt he is a world-class player. We've got lots of world-class players in there. But, you know, when I look back at the Lions series also, you know, he got an opportunity. He only made that one mistake, which possibly could have been a try. But apart from that, you know, he didn't really make, you know, big mistakes to sort of force him out. Again, I'd like to, without going down sort of, you know, looking into little wee things, Sumo, I think, you know, it's probably the makeup. You know, you've got Geordie Barrett there, you know, Ben Smith. You bring Nehi Milne-Scudder, you know, who's we know what he can do. And so, yeah, perhaps it's
Are you excited about seeing him back?
I can't wait to see him back. But the last time I said I was excited, he got injured again. So I'm just hoping that he sort of holds together. And, you know, and I'm not saying the muscle injuries or anything. They've been very unlucky. So I don't want to put a hoax on him. But I'm looking forward to him coming back and bringing his best again.
Jack Goodhue not involved either in the Rugby Championship. Jack Goodhue is the greatest old-fashioned tackler in the game right now. Did you see the way he tackled on the weekend?
Oh, mate.
Like, he was chopping guys down around the ankles. I have not seen midfielders tackle like that in 20 years.
And, mate, and look at the opposition he was had to go up against. So he's chopping midfielders, but he's also those big, big suckers.
But it is like watching a throwback rugby player watching Goodhue. It's amazing.
Absolutely. I mean, he's been another player that's shone this year. One for me that I think, you know, and it's unfortunate now that he hasn't sort of been picked because of the makeup that I was speaking about, it's probably David Harvili. I think, you know, he's had, he's probably, you know, a contender for Super Rugby Player of the Year.
Agreed.
Unfortunately, now that he hasn't been picked, you know, sometimes people can forget how good of a year he's had. He's had a magnificent year, and he's probably another guy that I believe, you know, is very unlucky to miss out as well, given his form.
Okay, well, let's finish the podcast today with talking about that. Your Super Rugby Player of the Year. I think our nominees would have to be Brody Retallick,
yeah,
Damien McKenzie,
yes,
David Harvili, Matt Todd, mm-hmm, Ngani Laumape.
Yes. Yeah.
How do you reckon about that five?
Wow.
You happy with that?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with that.
Pick me a winner out of those five.
Well, I'm going to have to say Harvili. For the way he's played this year, when they, you know, and the biggest bit for me was when they put him, you know, into the centres, you know, the Crusaders struggled a little bit. He put him back to fullback, and all of a sudden they're functioning fine. Look at the way he played the weekend, the way he sort of, you know, instrumented his back three, so they were catching the ball on the full. There was a kick that he got from Israel Dagg. Israel Dagg collected it on the full, gave it to him. You know, plugged the corner.
Correct.
All of a sudden, you're taking all that pressure off your forwards, but not just that. His ability to be able to stay up on his feet when there is a maul, to give his guys a chance to get back in. And so, when I pick David Harvili, it's purely for the fact of his decision making under pressure and his ability to get himself out of trouble, and also his all round skill. He may not have the explosiveness of a Damien McKenzie or a Nehi Milne-Scudder, but a bigger
impact on the team itself.
Oh, massive. And if I was to put someone like that in a test match, that's who I'd want at the back. Someone that's safe and dependable.
That's good from you, Mills.
Yeah, you like that?
No, I do, actually. Well, next week, of course, we're going to be previewing the Mitre 10 Cup. That launched today, New Zealand time, and 14 teams in the Premiership and Championship. And, of course, the All Blacks season gets underway, the International Rugby Championship. The All Blacks will be taking on the Wallabies in the Bledisloe Cup. Yeah, we're going to get into that. And hopefully joined by Sean Maloney out of Fox Sports so we can really rub in the fact that the Wallabies have got no show. It's been the Short Ball today with Mills and Scotty. Enjoy the weekend off, really, in terms of footy in this part of the world. But we'll be back bigger than ever next week.